Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And joining us now, John Owning from Pro Football Focus here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, John. How the heck are you?
Doing swell. How about y'all? How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing good. I thought the press conference earlier, did you get, I mean, that took a little bit of the wind out of the sails.
Yeah. Yeah. So is Jerry to use 300 words for something that only needs 10. So it was an interesting experience for sure.
But I thought it was interesting hearing Shoddy talk about, you know, what kind of defensive coordinator they're going to be looking for, the exhaustive search that they plan, and some of the traits that they want that guy to have. What qualities do you think work best for the Cowboys and they should be looking for here in this hire?
Well, like they said, I want someone who's they have the ability to adapt their scheme to the personnel they have. And that's something that, you know, Eberflus wasn't able to do consistently last year. He was too stubborn with his schemes. And I think that's something that they've obviously pinholed as something that has to be with their next defensive coordinator, because in today's NFL, with the way offenses are able to attack defenses, you have to be able to adjust. You have to be able to do what your defensive personnel does best. And if you're too stubborn, there's going to be offensive coordinators that are going to be able to find your weaknesses and attack it with consistency.
And do you have like one guy in mind or a handful of guys that match that description from your perspective?
Yeah, my favorite guy is I'm driving the Jim Leonard bandwagon. If anybody wants to jump on and join, we have plenty of seats available. But I'm a big fan of him. I love the work he did at Wisconsin, I think. And if anybody wants to learn more about Jim Leonard, just type in Jim Leonard on YouTube and Clinic, and he has a couple of clinic talks on there, and you can kind of get a general understanding of who he is as a person, as a coach, and what kind of like his defensive philosophy is. And the things that I really like about him is not only does he adjust his scheme to fit his personnel, which I think is one thing that coaches that come from college don't get enough credit for, is they have to adapt their scheme consistently to the personnel, because it's so different from, you know, every couple years or bringing in, you know, almost a whole new starting lineup. So you have to be able to adjust on the fly and make these adjustments that guys and be able to. One thing that Shoddy mentioned that I think Jim Leonard does really well is be able to communicate complicated subjects very simply. And in those clinic talks, you can see he does that very well. And when a lot of times when they're talking to 18 to 21 year olds, you got to be able to simplify very complicated concepts. And I think Jim Leonard does that really well. I really like the way that he structures his entire defense. I like the way that he attacks opposing offenses. He doesn't let them he doesn't let the offense dictate how the defense is going to play. He tries to use his defense to dictate the way the offense is going to play. And I think that's a consistent part of the kind of defensive coordinators that I really like, you know, the Brian Floreses, the Jim Schwartzes. They are very good at dictating and being aggressive to the offense and dictating what's going to happen.
When it comes to the personnel on the defensive side of the football, I know Steven looked at a linebacker and he looked at the secondary here, John. But when you go ahead and you're looking at the Cowboys depth chart, what's the first area that you're saying we got to address this and this needs to be improved?
I think the first area is probably linebacker, just because that was where you had the most inept play without like injuries really hampering the area. I think secondary was obviously bad, but there were so many injuries that hit that part of the defense that they have like a little bit of an excuse for their terrible play, but linebacker doesn't. And then outside of linebacker, I definitely think edge defender, just because I think the only guys under contract are Ezeraku and James Houston. So you definitely need to add more talent there. I would say probably linebacker and edge would be the first two for me that I would look to for the Cowboys to upgrade, because you have to be able to win in the front seven. As you can see in the playoffs, most of the teams there are winning with their front seven. They have really strong defensive lines and really competent linebackers behind them. And competent linebackers that not only play against the run, but they don't have to be hidden against the pass as well.
John, okay, you mentioned the edges and the linebackers, and I know you've already got started on your process of doing the draft. Give me those two. Give me the players that you would take then at 12 and the one you would take at 20 in this case.
Oh, Brian, you're coming with the hard questions right away. But just to let people know about my process, you know, I'm not someone who places grades on players really early in the process. I try to get a feel for players first and then try to dive in. But, you know, from my early looks and the people that I like, I think obviously my names are going to be similar to a lot of the other people's. I think names at 12 from linebacker and defensive end. Obviously, I'm a huge Sonny Styles fan.
Yeah,
I think he would be a perfect fit in this linebacker crew to go with DeMarvian Overshown. He's someone who I think he really has really good instincts. He's very competent in coverage. And the thing that I like about him is he's improved, incredibly in his ability to take on and get off blocks.
Yeah,
even on the
sure
play
has.
Where he missed his first tackle of the year, he got off a block to do so. Even on a play that was bad, so to say, for the game, but from an evaluation perspective, it's great to see him be able to get off blocks, especially as a Cowboys fan, where the linebackers seem to stick to blocks consistently.
Yeah.
And then on the edge, I'm not a really big fan early on of the Keldrick Fox and TJ Parkers of the world.
Oof, yes.
But I really like David Bailey. I really like Reuben Bain. Those would probably be the two guys that I would consider at those two spots. Cassius Howell.
I was going to ask you about Howell. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are two guys would probably, height less so, but Cassius Howell would be someone I would probably consider more with the second first round pick.
Yeah.
I think that his speed bend around the corner would be really good with the Cowboys, be able to play that open side edge for whoever their defensive coordinator is, whether it's a four down guy or a five down guy or a five man front guy. I think he would be a good fit. And one name I also want to talk about, just because I have to bring him up and no one else brings him up, I know Wolchek probably already knows who I'm going to bring up, is my guy Akeem Mezidor from Miami.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a first-round name, but I tell you, his pass rush ability is as good as these first-round guys. He's so intentional with his footwork, so intentional with his hands. He cuts angles. He corners extremely well, and he sequences his hands better than I think anybody in the class. There are plays where he's initiating with a double swipe to one side, and then they'll transition to a snatch arm over on the other side. I think that was against Notre Dame, his first pressure. Really, really, really impressive play, and I think he's just been dominating during the college football playoffs, and I'm really, really excited to see what him and Reuben Bank can do against Ole Miss tomorrow.
Yeah, let's make sure we check them feet, though, bro,
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Check them feet.
You got a lot of connections, bro. You got a lot of connections. Check them feet. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I've heard the thing that kind of flummoxes me though is that we usually don't see people get knocked for injury like that until we get around the combine.
Oh, they start killing him.
Prematurely right now because he's getting ranked consistently in like the 70s, 80s, 90s in these rankings. And you have another guy, Romello Height, who's another guy who's going to be 24, 25 on draft day. But he's being projected in the 20s and 30s. So I'm just like confused. And I personally think Mezidor is a better all-around player than Height.
Yeah, I tell you what. They got him in the first round. There's scouts that have this guy in the first round. As you and I have talked, we need to look at them feet, make sure our medical's okay to keep him in the first round.
He has a really interesting story. He started out as like a defensive tackle when he came out, and then he's grown into such a – not only is he a good defensive end, he's a pretty athletic dude. He's pretty quick. He corners at a good place. He's able to maintain his speed around the corner, things that you look for – to see if a guy's a good enough athlete to play on the edge. He kind of does all of that. So he's just a really fascinating story the more and more I dig into him as a player and a person.
It's John Owning, Pro Football Focus, here with you on The Fan. How does the free agent class line up for the Cowboys' needs this go around?
I mean, I've only taken a preliminary look at the free agencies and who's available and stuff, but I'm not the biggest fan of it. And I know that, obviously, as of right now, it's going to be as good as it's going to look because a lot of these guys are going to get re-signed, franchise tagged, and all of that kind of stuff. So I'm not in love with the free agent classes. I wish it would have been almost a different year that the Cowboys are going to be able to spend money, but they should be able to find guys that can provide substantial upgrades over what they're doing. But it's just which of those guys is going to actually make it to free agency.
Continuing with some of the defensive coordinator traits that you want to see, John, is it more about, hey, you're playing man coverage? Is it about the simulated pressures? Is it about disguising coverages? Like, how much is that important to you when it comes to these coaches?
Yeah, I just want somebody who's more aggressive. I want somebody who's going to attack the opposing offense. I like being a more aggressive, maybe a little bit higher of a blitz rate, blitzing a little bit more, using sim pressures, providing different looks, and obviously disguised coverage rotation, showing too high pre-snap and rotating to a single high coverage, or showing single high, rotating to a too high, showing, you know, a Tampa 2 and bringing a cover zero blitz, all those type of things, you know, that Brian Flores does so good at Minnesota and that Jim Leonard did so good at Wisconsin. Those are the type of traits that I think personally that I would think fit this team and would kind of send the defense in the correct direction moving forward. You know, you see all these kind of defensive teams that are on the cutting edge of schematically, like Mike McDonald, someone who I look at a lot, and what they're doing in Seattle. I think that they're really on the cutting edge of what you're supposed to do from a defensive scheme perspective. And I think it would be nice for Dallas to kind of push their defense in that direction moving forward.
John Owning, PFF, with us here on The Fan.
All right, John. So let's talk about the safeties. Caleb Downs did declare today, I'm trying to will him into existence at pick 12. Ooh, I don't know if he's going to make it there, right? But I, when you look around the league, I thought it was interesting that you brought up some covering fire there for Malik Hooker, because I think the Cowboys safety room is absolutely atrocious. And quite frankly, that includes Malik Hooker. He's a box safety now. He'll come up and tackle. I don't know, and I told you this, when's the last time he made a play in coverage? But maybe just being so narrow-minded when watching the Cowboys, you will watch other teams around the league. Why is maybe Malik Hooker not that bad compared to other safeties around the league?
Because I think Malik Hooker falls into that category. He's not like a difference maker, but he's also not someone who's killing you either. He's kind of just like a little bit of an average safety, and I would say. And when you have a defense like the Cowboys that needs upgrades at so many places, they were playing below average at so many positions, you kind of have to pick and choose which spots you're gonna quote unquote really target to upgrade. And I think Malik Hooker is one of the holdovers that you can kind of maintain and still play competent defense with. You know, I don't think Donovan Wilson is like that anymore. I think he's kind of fallen off and been below average, and you have to find a better upgrade over him. I think Malik Hooker, he's just a really smart guy. He doesn't make many plays, but I think he does prevent more plays than he gets credit for. He is in the right spot. We don't highlight the plays where he's playing, you know, single high safety and he prevents a post from getting open deep, or he's, you know, being the curl hook defender and he robs a crosser and the quarterback has to go to his second look and then he finds someone. I think he does those type of things really well. He's just not the type of person who's going to make a ton of plays on the ball himself. He's not going to be making game-changing type of plays. And, you know, if this defense was already, you know, hovering around like the 12 to 15 range, then definitely I think Hooker would be an area that you look, the free safety position would be an area that you look to upgrade. But the Cowboys are so bad and need so many help at so many different places that I think Hooker is one of the guys that you can kind of still win with.
You know, them having so many needs is one of the reasons that it, at least for like a thought experiment, I'm up for considering, you know, what it would look like if you did not bring back George Pickens. I don't know if I detected any sort of waffling on that today from the guys. But, you know, I would point out in 2021, they averaged 31 points a game. In 2023, they averaged 29.9 points per game. And, you know, this year was 27.7. Is this the best use of their resources?
I mean, I think so. I think any time you can get a type of talent that can kind of stretch defenses, that can force defenses to have to pick and choose who they're doubling, who they're bracketing, someone's always going to get singled up, so you're always going to have answers for no matter what the defense is doing from a coverage perspective. I think you have to be able to have that, because despite the fact that we have seen the Cowboys have more, quote-unquote, more score more points per game in previous years that they didn't have George Pickens, we have seen them in very important situations where teams really bite down on CeeDee Lamb, and then the Cowboys just don't have the other guys that have the ability to create separation and to really consistently create good throwing windows for Dak Prescott, and that's where the offense kind of stagnates. This year, I would say the offense more stagnated because of, you know, suspect play calling in the red zone and then offensive line woes and injuries up front. So I think that you want to keep this passing game as humming as it is right now, try to keep it operating at as high as the level moving forward, and try to stretch the resources at other places to try to make it work.
So you mentioned the suspect play calling in the red zone. Overall, what were your thoughts on Brian Schottenheimer in year one as a head coach but also the play caller?
I think overall he did pretty well with the hand that he was given. I would give him probably a solid B minus. From a play calling perspective, I think there's two issues I think that he had
I think one is that he was too cognizant that he had Brandon Aubrey and his ability to make really long kicks in his back pocket, so he wasn't aggressive enough with his play calling when he got to like a midfield, cross midfield. I think he should have been more aggressive there. And in short yardage situations, especially in the low red zone, I don't think he relied enough on the run game. I don't think he trusted Javonte Williams and company enough to really punch the ball in on, give him multiple opportunities to punch the ball in on those short yardage opportunities.
You're the man, John. Enjoy Wild Card Weekend, and we'll be looking forward to catch up with you soon.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on. Have a great day.
Salute. There he goes, John Owning, Pro Football Focus, and the Cross Chop podcast there with his guy Nick Harris, Star Telegram. It's a quality pod.